All right, we'll start at home. We'll stay close. You were at the Dave Gallagher ground yesterday in Rugby Championship 3. Letterkenny taking on Strabane. What did you think of the game and how did it go?
Well, it was the visitors, Strabane, eventually won 31-21. At one stage, it was 26-21 and Letterkenny were attacking strongly in the Strabane half, and a long pass was thrown, and the Strabane hooker, Gary Smith, managed to intercept the ball, and he ran about 70 metres, collapsing over the line, and that was game, set, and match. The conversion was missed, but it didn't really matter. Referee blew
the whistle. Jacob Stockdale.
Pardon?
A la Jacob Stockdale, catching the long ball.
Certainly it was, he had a fair distance to go, but it was probably a wee bit against the run of play. I think I said yesterday in my final report that I thought maybe a 26 all would have been a good result, because the other side actually got on top. It was a very good game, actually, both teams throwing the ball about. And interestingly, the teams that played against the one played better. Then, I mean, when we turned around in the first half, it was 21-19 to Strabane. Or to Letterkenny, and then it was, you know, the Strabane really didn't use the wind to their advantage. They did at one stage with a penalty, they kicked to the corner and then they rolled over the line out, which I thought that it did more often. But it was Letterkenny kept the ball in hand very well through their pack, and then Matthew Faulkner, the right half, had a very good game. Peter Scott in the centre and the pack in general. But the handling was very good. It was a very competitive game, and certainly the fitness levels of all the players was pretty good, because even in, say, in that last 5 minutes, both teams were going at it hammer and tongs, and a good result. At least it was a wee bit warmer than the previous Saturday, but unfortunately we would always get a win there today of Gallagher grounds. But generally speaking, I mean, Strabane have had a very good season, and you know, I think they're lying third at the moment in that league, where Letterkenny seem to always play better against the best sides. I mean, that was Strabane, the only team to beat Lurgan this year in any competition. They beat them just before Christmas. So it lets you see that the better the opposition sometimes, the more they lift themselves, because there was a game, I think it was against Virginia, where they just seemed to collapse in that game. But there's a lot of good young players there, and certainly, you know, a lot to build on for the future.
All-Ireland League Division 2B, Skerries 48, City of Derry 10. They're doomed, I presume, and it's a matter of rebuilding next year.
Yeah, very much so, Miles. I mean, I think it was 24-3 at half-time, and then it was 48-10, I think Chris told me, with about an hour or 65 minutes gone. Maybe Skerries made a lot of changes, or just took their foot off the pedal, or as I said yesterday, City of Derry improved and maybe got that score. But, you know, it's another result and a very disappointing one. Next week, they play Sundays well at Judges Road. That's a rearranged game from the Frost. And it'll be interesting to see just how they play that game. I haven't seen City Derry since before Christmas. So I'll be interested just to see what players are playing next week, to see how it is. The following week, we go up to Harlequins, and that's the two bottom clubs. But, I mean, Harlequins are 13 points ahead, so it doesn't really matter. Then the final game, it's Wanderers come to Judges Road, and they'll be looking for points maybe for a top four position, so that's not an easy game either. But, you know, it's been a long season for City of Derry, and really you have to say it, by Christmas they were almost doomed to relegation. And the game that they called off against Dungannon, losing the 5 points, just more or less meant that they had no real chance of climbing back up, even to get a second position, you know, to get a playoff. So, as you say, I mean, it's Division 2C next year. I don't know what's going to happen as regards the coaching setup or players, but they're going to have to do something very, very quickly.
They certainly are. In Division 2C, better result from Oma's point of view, beating Beck to 42-22.
Great result for Oma. I think that's the fifth game they have won on the road, and that now puts them in the third spot, and they're in a playoff position. And, you know, I mean, if they get into these playoff positions, anything could happen. And, you know, if they were to get promoted, but I'm sure they'll keep their feet on the ground and they'll take each game as it comes. In a way, if a game away and then have a home game against Bruff, which is very winnable, so a lot would depend. Bangor, who would have been in contention with them, lost yesterday, and I think it's 7 points ahead of Bangor at the moment. But a great performance yesterday. At one stage it was 28-22, and then they ran away 42-22. Yep, I think that was from what I gather, that was 6 tries he scored. And you know, they were their second highest points scorers in that league, and apart from Sligo, who I think are only 8 or 9 points ahead of them. So let you see that not only are they winning, but they're scoring well. And everybody at Melbourne Park will be absolutely delighted with that one. And they certainly deserve a lot of credit. They're putting out four teams every Saturday, and each team is doing very well. Last year, of course, the year they won promotion, every one of their sides won their league. So it lets you see the strength and depth. But I just forgot to say there in Division 2B, Rainey, again, keeping up the pressure. Rainey 31, Harlequins 21. That now leaves Rainey in a clear second position, which means they'll be into the playoffs. Unfortunately, the top two do not go up. It's only the first team that automatically is up. But you'd have to think of the way Rainey have been playing this year, that they would be very confident of getting promotion for a second year in a row.
And if we turn our attention to other Championship 1, for example, CIYMS, too strong for Coleraine, 28-20.
Yes, that one there. I mean, Coleraine, as I said, have had a pretty poor season. Limavady travelled to Randallstown, 26-12. Again, they have had a very, very good turnaround since the new year. I think they've only lost twice since the start of the new year, and because up until that they weren't going so well. But so certainly things seem to be improving down the Roe Valley, and as we know, the Letterkenny results, Band 31, Letterkenny 21. The other two games that were Coleraine, they conceded a game to Derry Thirds, and then Strabane, Ballyshannon conceded a game to Strabane and that other Minor North. So that was basically all the North West ones yesterday, Miles.
Well, after the International and the Grand Slam and the Championship and all the rest, it's Pro 14 action. I suppose the promise is trying to get back into it on Friday night. Connacht beaten at home by Edinburgh. They're just not able to click this year, 29-22.
Yeah, I watched that game. Connacht actually were well in the game, but I think what we have to say here, I wouldn't say that Connacht played that badly. Miles, what you have to say is Richard Cockle, who got a short shift from Leicester, has shown how good a coach he is. And if you think, I mean, what he's done with Edinburgh Rugby in the last 9 months has been absolutely phenomenal. I mean, they were last year, they were the whipping boys for a lot of teams. They're no longer the whipping boys, and they showed down at the sports grounds in Galway that they can mix with the best of them. And they certainly probably only get into the playoffs the way the situations are going at the moment. So a very, very useful side, Edinburgh. And unfortunately, from Connacht's point of view, they may well find themselves like Ulster, that they won't even make the playoffs. Again, there's all this other thing about the Champions Cup, of course. You know, it depends. The top three in each of the sections go through, but then it's a matter of then there could be a playoff. Connacht could be playing Ulster. Ulster could be playing, I think it's Benetton Treviso, who are only a point behind them. So there's a lot to be done. And both Connacht and Ulster have got to shake themselves, because another couple of losses from both teams and it's going to be very, very hard.
Yeah, Munster came from behind to defeat Scariffs 19-7. But Leinster went to the Ospreys, and Ospreys 32-18 victors there. And Leinster had a quite strong team.
They had. I saw that Munster game. I saw all those games. My only game I haven't watched was the Ulster game. I taped it, but from reports I heard yesterday, I think I might leave it until Monday, because probably it's not going to help anybody. Reading the papers today, the Ulster performance, I think, was pretty shambolic. That's all you could describe it as. But on the plus side, I mean, Munster were very, very good against the Scarlets, who started very strongly. But once again, the Munster forward showed three times they managed to get up. Got within 10 metres of the line, and just good patience, picking and driving, and over they went. And hopefully next weekend, as you know, is the Champions Cup, and hopefully at Thomond Park they will certainly be looking forward to that one, and hopefully they'll do well. They also, as you said, the Leinster, very impressed with the Ospreys now. They have come back very, very well in the second half of the season. And as you said, against a good Leinster side as well, Ospreys played really well. And isn't it strange, Miles, that a person who was sacked by Ulster Rugby a couple of years ago, Alan Clark's doing such a great job at the Ospreys. And while it's sort of Ulster are stuck in the mire, all these ex-coaches like Johnny Bell at Gloucester, Mark McCall at Saracens are all going well. And I think a lot of soul searching will be done at the Kingspan very, very quickly. It has to be, otherwise things could go completely off the rails.
And could you see any of those ex-Ulster, coaches coming back?
I don't think so, Miles. No, I don't think so. I think possibly the way they, I'm not saying that they left under a cloud or anything like that, but I think that Clark has now gone to the Ospreys. He's proved himself there. Johnny Bell's very happy at, along with that great South African coach at Gloucester. Mark McCall has just really got a dynasty at Saracens. I mean, why would he leave a team like Saracens? It's probably one of the two or three best teams in Europe to come back to Ulster. Let's face it, you know, I'm sure he still remembers that he's the only Ulster coach to win the Guinness, whatever you want to call it, the Pro 12, Pro 14 or the Guinness Cup in 2007, and then was relieved of his duties. So it says something about that. I don't see any of them come back. I think they've got to really go somewhere else. And interestingly, that the gentleman who was sacked from Ulster, Les Kiss, he's now instated now with London Irish along with Declan Kidney. So it's a bit like the soccer management at the moment, out of one job into another.
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe they're following the money. One never knows.
Yes, well, let's hope, Niles, and say anybody, and don't forget next weekend is the Champions Cup, the quarterfinals, and a great match down at Thowen Park, and of course then Leinster playing on Sunday, so two cracking games, and hopefully at all the Grand Slam heroes will be able to up their game and get Munster and Leinster into the semi-finals of that cup, because I think with the Grand Slam in Ireland on a high, it would be great if an Irish province won the Champions Cup.
It sure would. Alec, thank you for joining us this afternoon.